Puppy, Dumbledore said to Madame Pomfrey, would you be very kind and go down to Professor Moody's office, where I think you will find a house elf called Winky in considerable distress. Do what you can for her, and take her back to the kitchens. I think Dobby will look after her for us.
Very, very well,
said Madame Pomfrey, looking startled, and she too left. Dumbledore made sure that the door was closed, and that Madame Pomfrey's footsteps had died away before he spoke again. And now, he said, it is time for two of our number to recognize each other for what they are. Sirius, if you could resume your usual form. The great black dog looked up at Dumbledore, then, in an instant, turned back into a man. Mrs. Weasley screamed and leapt back from the bed.
Sirius Black!
She shrieked, pointing at him.
Mom, shut up!
Ron yelled.
It's okay!
Snape had not yelled or jumped backward, but the look on his face was one of mingled fury and horror.
Him!
He snarled, staring at Sirius, whose face showed equal dislike.
What is he doing here?
He is here at my invitation, said Dumbledore, looking between them.
As you are, Severus. I trust you both. It is time for you to lay aside your old differences and trust each other.
Harry thought Dumbledore was asking for a near miracle. Sirius and Snape were eyeing each other with the utmost loathing.
I will settle in the short term,
said Dumbledore, with a bite of impatience in his voice,
for a lack of open hostility. You will shake hands. You are on the same side now. Time is short, and unless the few of us who know the truth do not stand united, there is no hope for any of us.
Very slowly, but still glaring at each other, as though each wished the other nothing but ill, Sirius and Snape moved toward each other and shook hands. They let go extremely quickly.
That will do to be going on with,
said Dumbledore, stepping between them once more.
Now, I have work for each of you. Fudge's attitude, though not unexpected, changes everything. Sirius, I need you to set off at once. You are to alert Remus Lupin, Arabella Fig, Mundungus Fletcher, the old crowd. Lie low at Lupin's for a while. I will contact you there.
But, said Harry, he wanted Sirius to stay. He did not want to have to say goodbye again so quickly.
You'll see me very soon, Harry, said Sirius, turning to him. I promise you, but I must do what I can. You understand, don't you?
Yeah, said Harry. Yeah, of course I do. Sirius grasped his hand briefly, nodded to Dumbledore, transformed again into the black dog, and ran the length of the room to the door, whose handle he turned with a paw. Then he was gone.
Severus? Said Dumbledore, turning to Snape. You know what I must ask you to do, if you are ready, if you are prepared.
I am, said Snape.
He looked slightly paler than usual, and his cold black eyes glittered strangely.
Then, good luck, said Dumbledore,
and he watched with a trace of apprehension on his face as Snape swept wordlessly after Sirius. It was several minutes before Dumbledore spoke again.
I must go downstairs, he said finally. I must see the Diggories. Harry, take the rest of your potion. I will see all of you later.
Harry slumped back against his pillows as Dumbledore disappeared. Hermione, Ron, and Mrs. Weasley were all looking at him. None of them spoke for a very long time. You've got to take the rest of your potion, Harry, Mrs. Weasley said at last. Her hand nudged the sack of gold on his bedside cabinet as she reached for the bottle and the goblet.
You have a good long sleep. Try and think about something else for a while. Think about what you're going to buy with your winnings.
I don't want that gold, said Harry in an expressionless voice. You have it. Anyone can have it. I shouldn't have won it. It should have been Cedric's.